Wisconsin's 2-2 pitch. Strike three called on the inside corner, and that's a Redbird winner. Light it up in downtown St. Louis as the Cardinals take game one of the three-game series, 7-1 over the Miami Marlins.
Cardinals have a series that is ongoing with the Marlins at Busch Stadium. Game two of that series is tonight after winning last night. Matt Pauley's got the pregame show at 5:50, first pitch at 6:45, and it's all here on KMOX. Time to go to the guest line. Cardinals beat writer for MLB.com is John Denton, and he is with us now. How's it going, John?
Oh, it's going great, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. And we were just talking about Ryan Sandberg, who passed away. Before we get to Cardinals business, we were just talking about Sandberg in the Hall of Fame, passed away yesterday. You've covered baseball for a long time. It's just one of those guys that had respect from pretty much everybody around the league.
Yeah, definitely. You know, an all-world player and an all-world person from everything I've heard. You know, just a gentle, he was 6'4", he was big for a second baseman, but kind of a gentle giant. You know, he was nice to everyone off the field. He often looked like the everyday man, you know, a guy who just kind of could relate to anybody in Chicago. I think that's why he was such a big hit in Chicago. Not to mention he was a great baseball player, and you know, he was a rival of the Cardinals, but he was never the bad guy, villain, enemy, because everybody respected him in baseball.
Yeah, it's very difficult to dislike him. Growing up watching the Cards play against him, it was just really hard to not like that guy. We were just talking about that Sandberg game too. The one where he played against the Cardinals, hit those two home runs late, and Willie hit for the cycle in that one, and they still lost.
That's what I was about to mention. Willie McGee gets overlooked for what he did that game. Willie McGee had one of the best games in Cardinal history that day, but it's known as the Sandberg game. So, but, you know, I mean, you hit a tying home run off of Bruce Sutter in the ninth, and then the tying home run off Bruce Sutter in the 11th. It's going to be known as the Ryan Sandberg game, because we all know Bruce Sutter's a Hall of Fame reliever, one of the best to ever do it. So that was a classic memory. It's kind of, you know, bittersweet for the Cardinals because they didn't win that day, though.
The thing that we are all paying attention to this week, John, is the trade deadline and what the Cardinals might do. They've already traded Eric Fetty to the Braves for a player to be named or cash. That determination is made later. I think all of us kind of assume that another reliever is probably going to go here. Maybe it's Ryan Helsley. Maybe it's Phil Maton. If you had to guess what's going to happen in the next few days, what do you think it'll be?
Yeah, you know, the Cardinals' strong suit is the bullpen, and so there are a lot of teams calling. You know, there are a lot of teams in World Series bust mode. You know, the Phillies need to get over the hump and finally win a World Series. They've been trying to do this for like four straight years now. The Phillies' bullpen is a major weakness. They could use Ryan Helsley, they could use Phil Maton. They could use a guy like JoJo Romero, you know, a left-hander who came from the Phillies back in 2022. He's given up one run in a month. Phil Maton is second in the league in lowest average exit velocity. He's fourth in the league in strikeout rate, and he's a guy who throws 89 miles an hour, but his curveball is elite, elite, elite. And, you know, any team in the league could use Ryan Helsley. The Cardinals are getting a lot of calls from the Toronto Blue Jays, the team that has the best record in baseball. They need help in the bullpen. So, you know, the Cardinals are going to get a lot of calls for all those guys in the bullpen. You know, I really think, and Ryan Helsley himself even thinks, you know, he's not going to be here by the end of the week. And that kind of crushes him because he's the longest tenured Cardinal. He's been here since he was drafted by the organization in 15. You know, he's been – this is all he knows. It's a little bit heartbreaking for him because he doesn't want to leave, but he knows how the game's played.
There was a report from John Morosi earlier today. In fact, it was within the last hour that Nolan Arenado, his name has come up in talks with the Astros, that the Cardinals have been talking things over. And, of course, Houston had interest in him during the offseason. He chose not to go there. At this point, according to Morosi, no momentum toward the deal or toward a deal, but is it likely that Arenado is traded before we get to Thursday?
You know, I thought that the chances were dying of that because Nolan has had a rough July. But talking to people in his camp, talking to people around Nolan, they believe that the likelihood is that he will be moved at this deadline. If you look at it, Chris, I mean, there are probably 9 teams that are looking for a third baseman. 3 of them are in the Cardinals division. The Cubs want a third baseman. The Brewers, the Reds, they're all looking for third basemen. Meanwhile, you got the Tigers and the Mariners. You know, those are teams that need third basemen. So because there's so many teams, everybody wants Eugenio Suarez, the third baseman for the Diamondbacks, the guy who had 4 home runs earlier this year. Everybody wants him, but when you miss on him, teams are likely to come to the Cardinals and look for a third baseman. I mean, the Astros, Paredes is probably out for the season after tearing his hamstring. They need help at third baseman. If they're going to be a serious contender, they've got to get an everyday third baseman. So it makes sense that Houston's calling again about Nolan Arenado because, you know, they had huge hopes of getting him back in December, and I don't think they've ever really abandoned that idea.
When it comes to trade deadline trades, are some of the players that maybe have no trade clauses or at least have a limit on their teams, do they change their mind? Do they loosen the rules sometimes at this point in the season than how they approach it during the offseason?
Yeah, Amy, that's, you know, the John Mozeliak has gone back. I mean, one of the things that I tweeted yesterday, John Mozeliak and Sonny Gray had a conversation recently to find out if Sonny still wants to be in St. Louis. A lot of times players say in the offseason, you know, I want to stay, I want to be a part of this. But when you go through losing, it beats you up. And, you know, you get older in your career, you get later in your career, all you want to do is win. Nolan Arenado has $300 million in the bank. All he cares about now is being a part of a championship team. You know, remarkably, in 13 years, Nolan Arenado's won 1 playoff game. He came to St. Louis. He was supposed to be the missing piece that were going to help the Cardinals win it all. He hasn't won a playoff game in St. Louis. So you get later in your career, you start looking around, you want to play for a winner, and, you know, maybe you had one idea of, hey, I want to be a part of it in St. Louis, but later in the season, you go back to these guys, and maybe their thought has changed. Maybe Wilson Contreras at some point wants to play for a contender instead of being in St. Louis. Maybe Sonny Gray's mind changes at some point. Maybe Nolan Arenado picks a team that he wouldn't have picked in the offseason.
This question has been asked a lot leading into the deadline, and knowing the organization is in a transition from John Mozeliak as the president of baseball operations to Chaim Bloom, and people want to know, how involved is Bloom in whatever they're going to do here this week?
I think he will have a tremendous say in what's going on. Obviously, he's the guy who's going to have to deal with the future. He's going to have a say in everything. You know, the Cardinals don't make any moves in a vacuum. Like, it's not a one-person decision. There are, you know, multiple people sitting at the table helping with that decision. And Chaim has a seat at that table, and Chaim has a strong voice, and they would be foolish not to listen to him because, you know, he's built successful teams in the past. It's going to be his show in the future. He has institutional knowledge of the Rays and the Red Sox and even Philadelphia Phillies. So it would be foolish not to listen to him, and I think he's going to have a very strong say in what happens at the deadline.
What did you make of left fielder Ivan Herrera out there? I thought his post game was pretty hilarious, how he thought the ball, when he had to make that catch out in left field, he thought it was 30 rows deep, and he was backing up, and then he had to run forward to get it.
Yeah, the pitcher thought it was gone because of the way he saw. Andre Pallante thought it was gone because of the way he saw Herrera.
That's right, that's right.
But, I mean, Herrera pointed out afterwards, he said, look, John Jay has taught me, run to the spot and then you're under it. Don't try to catch it while you're moving. So he actually did exactly what he was taught, but it was, you know, the coolest moment of the night was to see him catch that ball. The air comes out of his lungs and he lets out a smile. So that first fly ball is, you know, it's scary, especially in a major league stadium. Maybe you catch it in spring training, it's no big deal, but you get in a major league stadium with 3 decks and 25,000 people there. He said, you know, he put his hand on his chest and his heart was beating through his jersey. He could feel it moving. So,
I love it.
They're not going to play out there every day. It was just done to give Alec Burleson the day off. They've got to find a position for Yvonne Herrera because he hits the ball too well. Yeah. That bat's got to be in the lineup every day, but he can't just be exclusively a DH. He's got to learn to play another position.
Yeah, this is maybe the most important job for the Cardinals coaching staff and Ollie Marmol is to continue for the rest of the year to get a look at as many players as possible, gather as much data as they possibly can so they can make decisions for 2026. So getting him out there is important. Getting Nolan Gorman out there is important. What else do you see as being important for them in these final 2 months, knowing that they are 3.5 games out of a wild card spot? So even if they do make trades, there's always that, I guess, very distant possibility they could still be in September interesting as a team.
Yeah, Chris, you know, the last night kind of gave a glimpse of what's coming for the next 2 months. I mean, like you said, they've got to get Nolan Gorman back from, you know, he's out with a back injury. He's starting a rehab assignment tonight in Springfield. They've got to get him back. And if Nolan Arenado's gone, he needs to play third base every day. They've got to get Lars Nootbaar back. Lars is starting a rehab in Springfield tomorrow, Wednesday night. You need to find out if Kyle Leahy could be a starter. You need to find out if Kyle Leahy could be a closer. So many things. By the middle of August, you're going to see the top prospects in the organization. J.J. Weatherholt's probably going to be here. Jimmy Crooks, you know, the Cardinals have about 8 catchers on the roster, but I'm not sure they have the catcher of the future on the roster. But they are loaded at the catcher position in the minor leagues. You probably need to get Jimmy Crooks here by September to see what you got going in the offseason with him at the catcher position. So there's a lot of answers still to be revealed. You know, maybe they're not on that championship track. Maybe they don't make the playoffs this year. But there are a lot of big questions that need answered going down the stretch.
All right, John Denton, as always, we appreciate talking with you here. And we'll be paying attention with the trade deadline at 5 o'clock on Thursday. So just a couple of days here for the Cardinals to make their move or moves, and we will be paying attention. Thank you very much, John.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Cardinals writer for MLB.com is John Denton with us here.